Mini episode 228 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 228. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries. We've been taking you through the NFL week by week all season long, and it's now week 17. We're getting ready to break that down for you as well. And again, we've been bringing you our picks throughout the year and our analysis. Last week, a horrid 5-11 for me, bringing me to 119, 118, and 3 for the season. On my big three, was 1-2. So that's 24, 23, and 1. I did hit my lock pick last week. My lock picks 8-8 for the season. For Kyle Ross, it has been a better story all throughout the year, but that is pretty much what you would expect as a longtime Vegas handicapper. We bring him in now. Kyle Ross, good friend. Talk about your week last week and your season thus far. You're doing pretty good, buddy.
Yeah, I am. You know, it seemed every week when he introduced me, though, that number was getting a little less impressive, a little less impressive by the week, I should say. But we did go 2-0 last week. Carolina came through, a big late season run for them. I've been riding them as Cam Newton's turned things around a little too late. I kind of thought they were going to be on bigger and better things, but alas, they will be home for the playoffs. And then how about them Seattle Seahawks, Ricky Moore?
How about them Seahawks?
Let me tell you something. I know a lot of times we joke around, and I'll just sort of egg you on and troll you to get a big reaction out of you. I'm not joking. I'm not egging. I'm not trolling. When I tell you right now, going into the final week of the season, I have Seattle number one in my power ranking. I believe that they, right now, if you put me on the spot, I would pick them to win the Super Bowl.
They're the hottest team in the league. They're not number one in mine. I'm still finalizing my power rankings for this week. You can catch them right where you catch the show at the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine. I won't have them one, but they'll be a lot closer than I thought they could have been. And, yeah, they're the hottest team in the league, Kyle.
Well, I just want to say this. I've got to turn back heel on you here, Ricky, to start the program.
Okay. I've
got to get back into character. They are the only team to beat New England, to beat San Francisco, and, of course, Green Bay, fair and square this season. No other team can claim that. Thank you very much.
I will tell you this.
And you know me. I'm rooting all the way for my main man, Richard Sherman, a man who's clearly done nothing wrong.
Our FDH director of research, Nate Noy, has been telling me for weeks that he is dying to see a Seattle at Green Bay game. I said, you know, in terms of a hostile crowd, I said maybe Russell Wilson will be able to turn the crowd on his side a little bit, try to stir up a little bit of nostalgia by trying to participate in the jump around. And Nate didn't seem to think that would have much impact.
Oh, okay, I got you. By the way, Ricky, as we get into the picks, week 17 certainly one of the trickiest weeks of all, if not the trickiest. If I ever fade out during the next 45 minutes here, it's because I am glued to the conclusion of the Military Bowl, as I'm sure you knew I would be here.
Yes.
San Jose State and Bowling Green. No one loves bowl games more than I love bowl games. I don't think – who even sponsors the Military Bowl? The Northrop Grumman? I don't even think they care as much about this game as I do right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. If it's Northrop Grumman that's sponsoring it, maybe we should be calling it the Military Industrial Complex Bowl, but I guess that's another story for another podcast.
Too bad we can't trot one of your old buddies up, Dwight D. Eisenhower, for this one.
Yeah. Ike warned us about bowl games like this, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
What better note to start us on than that? But a real dud game first on the marquee unfortunately, as we're looking at it here. The Jets at Buffalo, and I have to tell you, deprived this week of my copy of USA Today Sports Weekly, probably due to the blizzard in the Midwest and that nobody was carrying it today. I have no announcers to be able to drop on anybody for this week here.
Oh, that upsets me.
Where will
the lovely Pam Ward be and the tan Laura Oakman and FDH guest Kenny Albert? You know, I was really good. That's really the only reason I come out every week with you, Ricky, is to know which announcers I can expect any week.
I want to correct you, Kyle. It's the lovely Pam Oliver, not the lovely Pam Ward for these purposes, okay?
By the way, I'm actually going to put soap in my mouth after this broadcast for using the word lovely and Pam Ward in the same sentence. That's the kind of thing that can get you. That's the kind of thing that can get you trending on Twitter when you say wrong. Yeah. I think
that is like all those mean people that want to talk about Pam Oliver's alleged weave during playoff games on Twitter. This one here, you know, there's a whole bunch of games this week that I'm just going to assume for the purposes of this that Ian Eagle and Solomon Wilcots are covering, and this would be the first one. It's the Jets at Buffalo. Buffalo is weighing 3 in this game. It had been 3.5 at one point during the week. Seems to have snapped back to 3. An ugly, ugly, ugly matchup. Buffalo at this point seems millimeters less like a dumpster fire to me than the Jets do, and that's going to be as much rationale as I can put on this one here. Buffalo is a poor team that underachieves a fair amount. The Jets are a good deal less than that at the moment. I'll say take the Bills away to 3.
Okay, after last week where I kind of was very timid and I went with just 2 games, I expected to kind of be timid again this week, but I've somehow scratched out 3 recommended plays for the final week. I normally don't do that. If you recall last week's program, I advised all the listeners to tread lightly. There are several games where there's not even, in fact, any lines posted as of this broadcast, but we do have Buffalo laying 3 here, and this is actually the first of my recommended 3 wagers, believe it or not. Now, you would be right in kind of advising everyone listening here to sort of stay away from games such as this, and I would agree with you, where neither side has really anything to play for. There's multiple games like this, but I'm going to go against that axiom twice, not just here, but one other time, believe it or not, in this broadcast. And the reason is revenge. The Bills are at home. They have revenge. I think they have a reason to care here, despite the fact that this is probably Chan Gailey's final game. At least it should be. It might very well be Ryan Fitzpatrick's final game under center for Buffalo, depending on whether or not they can rid themselves of that awful contract. But Buffalo, if you remember, they came into the year with playoff aspirations. I, you know, joked before the year I was drinking the PBR Kool-Aid. It just never panned out. They've even stunk down this stretch of what I thought was going to be winnable games that could get them in the playoff hunt. But they were crushed 48-28 in the season opener by the Jets. That set the tone for a bad season. But the one thing I can guarantee you here is that Mark Sanchez is not going to have the kind of game he had in week one where he looked very good, quite frankly. 260-something yards, 3 touchdowns. The Jets are just a disaster. 11 sacks last week, losing at home to a San Diego team that, you know, was thought to be more lifeless than even them. Lay the points with Buffalo, recommended play number 1 this week.
You talk about mailing it in December. When you have a bigger book of stamps than the San Diego Chargers, it is time to look yourself in the mirror. I agree with you completely.
Yes. The Jets, it's funny. You know, we'll talk about this. I think in the coming weeks we should do kind of a season wrap-up where we look back at our picks from at the beginning of the year and kind of – say whether we're going to buy. I mean, it's tough now. I mean, there's still a draft and free agency. But if you were to ask me to buy or sell on some of these teams' long-term futures, I'm a big seller with the Jets, even more so than the Bills. I mean, the Jets could be really awful next year. Really awful.
Yeah. Their window has come and gone. And again, when you gear up like that, when you spend as much money on free agents and you make the kind of moves like that, it's a short window. You don't get it done. The window is unforgiving. And it has slammed shut on the stubby fingers of all Jetropolitan fans, so no question about it. The other battle that is in the AFC East this week, it is Miami going to New England. The Pats are laying 10 in this game, had been 11 earlier in the week. So many of these games where it's just so hard to get a handle on it. The Dolphins at many times during this season have risen to the occasion, at least defensively, and played very well. They hung tight with New England the first time around. I don't look at this Dolphin team as being as weak under these circumstances as a lot of warm weather teams are. They're certainly more physical than a lot of their warm weather brethren. I think they can keep it close enough to sneak in the back door, as I believe they did the last time. I'm going to say Dolphins plus the 10.
They did sneak in the back door last time. It's tough to build a case for them this time, given that New England, obviously we talked about this in greater detail last week, we don't need to rehash it. Their loss to San Francisco really hurt and appears that it will cost them a first-round bye, because I just can't see Denver losing to Kansas City. But now, I think if Houston were to lose, though, I think New England, Houston could drop all the way to the 3. I don't know if my playoff scenario is up in front of me. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, okay. So with that being the case, New England's going to win here. But they aren't, with last week's non-cover against Jacksonville, I think I mentioned this last week and it just got one game worse with that result, they're now 1-4 against the number one, laying double digits this year. So I see a game very similar to the first one where it's kind of right around the number the whole time. Miami, I said before the year they were going to be better than most people thought. I think they are. Certainly, I don't see them winning here to get to 500. But 7-9, I don't think most people had them doing that well. And I know you're a Dolphins guy. Compared to the Bills and Jets, I think they're in a much better position in the AFC East, a division that's obviously been owned by New England for the better part of a decade.
Well, they are.
No play here. New England's going to win by probably right around the number.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Yeah, Miami's talent is a little bit cheaper and younger than is the Jets, and I think in a lot of cases that's the difference maker when you're assessing a team a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road and their core. Turning to the AFC North, Baltimore is at Cincinnati, two playoff teams here. The Bengals are laying 2.5 in this one, had been 3.5 earlier in the week. I got to eat crow. I've been doubling down on the hated squealers, at least hated in my book, the last couple weeks and getting slapped for it. Last week
me too.
With the Bengals. Again, at this point in time, I can't believe I'm saying it, but the Bengals look like a better all-around team than does Baltimore, given Baltimore's softness against the run. Cincinnati hasn't been I won't say dominant. I don't think they aspire to be dominant with the law firm in the backfield this year, but I think it's safe to say they haven't quite gotten the punch out of that position that they might have hoped they've achieved it despite that. But this is a week where they should be able to run and run it pretty good, and I look for them to win and cover the 2.5.
This is an interesting game because, as you mentioned, these are two playoff teams. Baltimore, I've been down on them more than most during the course of the year, particularly when they've gotten a 9-2. We knew at that point it would have taken a cataclysmic collapse to miss the playoffs, so it's no surprise they're in. Cincinnati, it's much more of a surprise that they're in. They kind of have the air that they've arrived a year early, don't they, Ricky? I thought that what was going to happen, I was with you. I agreed with you. It wasn't one of my recommended plays, but I agreed that I thought Pittsburgh was the play last week. Roethlisberger, second straight week with an awful decision in the waning moments of the game that basically cost the team, the playoffs. But Cincinnati is a team I thought would finish at kind of around 500, and then I was going to be a big buyer on them next year to win the division. And I still kind of am because I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore are just getting, a day older and a dollar shorter. But neither team here has anything to play for, which is odd.
No.
Cincinnati's locked into the sixth seed. Baltimore can move up to the 3 if some things happen, but the bottom line is they're playing next week at home. And it's interesting in that Cincinnati, best case scenario, would probably rather draw Baltimore as a 3 next week than, New England or Denver or Houston. So it might be in Cincinnati's best interest to lose this game. But, I'm not going to accuse anyone of tanking. And the Bengals do have revenge from an ugly week one loss. So basically I babble incoherently a lot there to tell you I'm passing on this one. No, I can't. Can't make heads or tails. The Ravens did get their win last week. They got back on the right track. So with the division sewn up, you might think they'd phone it in. But at the same time, I'm not sold on Cincinnati laying points.
Okay. I can understand that. I do feel like under the circumstances looking at this one here, if it is in their best interest to lose the game, and again, don't make a mockery out of the game by making it obvious. I've always said in whatever sport, I'm never going to blame anybody if the situation incentivizes a certain outcome. I agree. I'd certainly much rather draw Baltimore if I was them. Baltimore is more vulnerable than any other three teams you mentioned right now. So if they feel like it's in their best interest to lose the game, I mean, don't make a mockery out of it. But, yeah, I wouldn't fault them at all for letting it happen, so to speak.
At the same time, a win here, that would give them a share of the AFC North. What if they finished tied at 10-6? So, you know, a Bengals team that certainly in the last two decades has not had a lot to cheer about, maybe going for that. So, you know, the more I talk about this, the more I kind of like Cincinnati, I guess, but I'm still not recommending it.
Share of the AFC North without getting what that represents tangibly, you know, that and $4 gets you a Dixie cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not really, you know, doesn't really get you that much. The other AFC North battle, I guess we should probably just glide over the ones that don't have an official number on it. I'm just going to go by the Vegas power rankings I was able to find here. Cleveland is at Pittsburgh in a game with many, many question marks, not least of which because Thad Lewis looks like he's going to be starting the third string quarterback for the Browns. In this one, according to the Vegas power numbers, it would be Pittsburgh weighing 8 points in this one. Under those circumstances with an 8-point number, looks to be pretty snowy. I'm going to say field goal battle. I think the Browns can backdoor it. I don't think they're not going to go 2-0 against the Squealers this season as much as I personally would like to see it. But I think the Browns could get underneath the number of 8, which, again, for these purposes, is, you know, fairly hypothetical.
Yeah, obviously, you know, with hypothetical lines, I'm not getting involved at all. I'll say this just real quick. All these, look, and I'm not questioning anyone's injuries because many of them seem very legitimate and real. But, you know, they kind of all hit, I'm referring to the Browns side here, they kind of all kind of came out of the blue, some of these injuries, it seemed, this whole Thad Lewis situation. Does that sort of speak poorly to the Pat Shurmur era, that guys wouldn't want to go out and maybe get a win over a rival in the finale and save his job? Because if Cleveland gets buried here, Shurmur's done, in my opinion.
Well, with the new ownership, I think he's done regardless. I think the Denver game was a bad taste.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, and I'm here to tell you, unless if you can go out and get like a Nick Saban, which obviously is the ultimate home run, or, you know, but another replacing a guy who seems like a career assistant with another career assistant, I don't think is a prudent move for Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland played hard this year, and I don't think they should just fire Shurmur for the sake of firing him. I mean, I don't think he's great. He's never going to be coach of the year, but, you know, I don't think they should change for the sake of change, Cleveland. And, I mean,
so you're saying Hoodie Jr. McDaniels with Mike Lombardi as GM doesn't exactly make you stiffen up any?
not really. To be honest, I mean, he failed once. I mean, obviously, you know, Bill Belichick failed in Cleveland and, you know, obviously found greener pastures elsewhere. I'm just saying, don't change for the sake of change isn't always great. And I know that's, you know, that's music to your ears after the last two presidential elections. But, but, you know, I'm just saying, if Cleveland does get blown out here, the moving forward, pardon the pun, will be inevitable.
I certainly agree with that. Turning to the AFC South, Jacksonville is at Tennessee. Titans are laying 4 in this game. Looks like it's been pretty solid 4 all week long here. I toyed with making this one of my lock picks, but on general principle, I won't, because Tennessee is so awful in their own right. But Jacksonville is just at absolute dreg level at this point. And again, I could see Chris Johnson going for 250 in this one on that pathetic Jag defense here. So I'm going to say Tennessee takes it going away. Didn't feel strong enough about it. But on general principle, I don't like to take one drag over another. But if I was ever going to break that rule, Kyle, it'd probably be in this game.
Well, you know, you and I were kind of thinking alike, but I'm a little more brave, apparently. This is the second of my 3 recommended plays, and it's pretty much the reason it's a Buffalo. It's the same as the Buffalo rationale. It's a seemingly meaningless game. But the home team has revenge. Tennessee is one of 2 teams to lose to Jacksonville this year. They're also off an awful, awful, awful showing last week against Green Bay. I had the over in that game, and when it was 41-0, I was like, Tennessee, could you please score once? turned out I didn't need him to score at all. But, you know, they wound up losing 55-7 to the Packers, for those who, you know, stopped keeping track at home. And teams that are off an awful loss like that typically do come back and play, you know, much more up to snuff the following week. And could take that, couple it with the revenge angle. I think the Titans win big here. Jacksonville, make no mistake about it, if there's ever a team that needs to tank this week, it's Jacksonville, because they're fighting for the number one draft pick with Kansas City.
Yeah, and assuming that they have their eye on a certain player, they're going to need to do that. Looks like they skipped over the other AFC South one, so let's double back on that one. It's Houston at Indianapolis. This is very curious. The line has gone from Houston laying 4 now to laying 7. Notwithstanding that, again, I feel like the Titans are in need. It's very funny, because I didn't think that either of the Colts games, being weeks 15 or 17, were necessarily going to mean much to Houston. But things have tightened up significantly in the AFC over the course of time. This actually does mean a fair amount if they want to get home field throughout the playoffs. I feel like Houston very desperately needs a statement game at this point. And I kind of agree with Bill Barnwell of Grantland, who wrote this week that they are just about the best balanced team out there in the AFC, perhaps if not all of football, that they don't really have glaring weaknesses anywhere. They're just a solid team top to bottom. It's why they were my preseason Super Bowl pick. And I think they're more than solid in some areas. Spectacular when you get into J.J. Watt, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson when healthy, Matt Schaub when he's really in a rhythm. I think this is a statement game for the Titans. I think they take this going away, and I think that this kind of exposes the Colts a little bit heading into the playoffs.
Here's the issue. I don't like the line move, and I don't like the idea of betting against the Colts with Pagano's return to the sideline.
That's tough.
That's always a bad move. It's weird. I know it makes – there's no tangible thing, and it seems a little goofy, but it's just – it's always been bad form, in my opinion. Now, it's interesting that Indianapolis is a team that has nothing to play for here. We like you mentioned, we thought it might be Houston, but the Colts are locked into the 5 seed. But they're going to play hard for Pagano. At the same time, Houston's never won in Indianapolis, ever. So I wanted to go with the Texans earlier in the week. This was going to be a recommended play, and then I sort of swapped them out for Buffalo at the last minute. I say Houston wins this one, but close. Houston desperately does need this game. You know, they were my preseason pick, too. You and I agree. They were my preseason pick to win the Super Bowl. Looked great for a while there, but they're kind of limping to the finish. If they don't get home field, they will not be my pick to win the AFC next week. I guarantee you that. They will not. I really like whoever gets home field in that AFC to represent the conference in the Super Bowl. I really do. Houston, it's funny when you're kind of extolling their virtues there. They're the AFC version of Atlanta to me.
There are a lot of similarities between the two.
You know another similarity that will really piss you off? I don't have either of them in my top five anymore in the power rankings.
Oh, wow. To me, that's an overreaction. I'm staying with both of them in there.
I really have. It's not necessarily – Houston was up. Atlanta was kind of treading in and out most of the year. Houston runs up high, but, God, when you watch them get killed by New England the way they did, they've gotten buried by Green Bay, it's that ceiling that I talked about a few weeks ago. Houston and Atlanta are consistently great. They're always good. You know, they'll throw a stinker out, obviously, once or twice, but consistently they're very good, and that's why I think that they're going to both end up with home field advantage in their respective conferences. But their ceiling is not as high as, say, a Seattle, a San Francisco, a New England, a Green Bay. Houston got killed by both New England and Green Bay. So Texans will win here. They'll get home field. And, you know, we'll see next week if I decide to stick with them to win the AFC.
The thing that's funny, and I like the opportunity on this show to kind of wax philosophical about these things, Houston and Atlanta, both Southern Dome teams. So you look at some similarities, and yet – they're not really the same. I mean, we're talking about them superficially as far as maybe having a glass jaw, maybe not being as good as they look. As far as the identity of the team, Atlanta this year has had some difficulties both running the ball and stopping the run. That really hasn't been Houston's problem. As you said, they've kind of gotten passed out of the building on a few occasions in high-octane offenses. So they don't have the same strengths and weaknesses necessarily, but in the total picture of it, they do kind of have this that air of maybe not as good as their record. So is your thing a non-pick on this one here? Do you know Houston's going to win, but you're not sure?
I think Houston's going to win by right around the number. I mean, I lean towards Houston just because they so desperately need it, but betting against the Pagano thing scares me. I'll say this, going back to my Critics Band analogy, you know, Houston might be pavement, Atlanta might be guided by voices, vice versa, but the bottom line is we've yet to really see a hit single out of either of them, either way.
Which one of them is My Bloody Valentine?
I don't know, actually, to be honest with you.
That
was a one-album wonder, I think. You know, these teams have at least had multiple years of success. I'm trying to think, who would be My Bloody Valentine? It might be your boy Jim Schwartz in Detroit last year might have been My Bloody Valentine.
The way that they're kind of riding high at the moment here, maybe it's the Bengals. Maybe the Bengals would be My Bloody Valentine of the AFC.
I think the Bengals are. You look out for the Bengals next year. I'm telling you, they drafted well. They
had a great draft. I think they're a little overvalued right here and right now in these playoffs. But I certainly agree with you. The next one, I almost threw a real curveball here. It's the Giants hosting Philadelphia. The line is down to 7.5, had been 9.5. I like Philadelphia to cover it. I almost went with Philly as one of my three lock picks. And again, I didn't want to overreact here. Again, I've been on the Giants a lot this year. They've accounted for a fair number of my big three and lock picks that have gone against me. I could just see the Giants, depending on what happens here, and they need so many things to happen. They're not going to make the playoffs at this point. If they nailed it and lost outright, I wouldn't be shocked. But I love Philadelphia to cover it. I think they have a decent chance to steal this one in the farewell game for Andy Reid and for Michael Vick, because as disinterested and dispirited as the Giants have been the last couple weeks, call me bitter, but I don't think they're capable of really doing a whole lot at this point in time here. So I think they'll win, but Philly's going to cover that number, I'm pretty sure.
See, I think of this thing the other way. I actually am not ready to give up on the Giants and their playoff chances yet, Ricky. The two teams they need to lose are Minnesota and Chicago, right?
Yep.
That could, and they get the wild card, I think. Look, I'm not saying the Giants are going to make the playoffs, but I wouldn't be shocked if somehow, some way, they snuck in. I think they're going to take care of business here. In the interest of time or whatever, my third recommended play is going to be on this, in addition to Buffalo and Tennessee, is going to be on the Sunday night game, just so there's no confusion.
Okay.
But I can see the Giants TCB in here, and that stands for take care of business. Philadelphia, like I kind of mentioned and thought they would last week, they showed up for Andy Reid's swan song at home. Why are they going to try here? Although, isn't Vic's going to play? So that could mean, you know, he could be auditioning for the next regime or for a job elsewhere. So there could be some effort on that Philadelphia side.
I think there will be some uncharacteristic effort out of them. Next game up here, and again, as I said, we'll blow through the ones without an actual point spread. Atlanta is hosting Tampa Bay. And, again, the Vegas power ranking number I saw on this inexplicably was Atlanta minus 17. I wouldn't expect the actual line to be
no,
that.
No,
but
at no,
17,
no, no.
As horrific as Tampa has been, I would certainly take them to get underneath that.
Well, yeah, that's not going to be the line. I would not be surprised. I'm just going to tell you something right now. No one, everyone listening, do not wager on this game.
No, do not.
There's no point because I don't know who's going to be playing for Atlanta in the second half. At all. I mean, they've got it all wrapped up. They don't need to play anyone. They don't need to play Matt Ryan here at all. Tampa Bay, second straight year that they've just absolutely limped to the finish, would be putting it nicely, I think. So I'm stay away. There hasn't been a game all year I don't think I've had any less interest in wagering on.
No, exactly. You know, and so much for Bush League Greg Schiano with his thing of trying to crash the kneel down at the end of the game here. We're seeing how much that's worth in the grand scheme of things. While we're at it, let's just bust through the other one here. Doesn't have an official number. San Diego's hosting Oakland. Vegas power ranking I was able to find is minus 11. Again, without Carson Palmer, I would take Oakland to get underneath that. I wouldn't expect the line to be that once again, but I think Oakland could cover 11 against another disinterested San Diego team.
You know, this game actually, I may have less interest in this one than the last game. No way. Just, I mean, these are two awful teams. The only difference is, you know, San Diego, look, I didn't think, I thought less of them than you did before the year, but they're even going to finish under where I thought they'd be. Oakland is actually, I thought Oakland was going to be awful before the year, and they are, in fact, awful. They're just total mess. I'm not a big, you know, this AFC West has just turned ugly. Peyton Manning, what a brilliant move. Peyton Manning's made two brilliant moves this year, you know, professionally. One is going, obviously, to Denver to be the quarterback. Two is buying up all those Papa John's franchises as soon as Colorado legalized weed. What? This guy's a genius.
Yeah. He's going to make a ton of money from the stoners out there that actually think that Papa John's is anything other than burnt, bulbly crust with undercooked chunky sauce. Next up here, as I blow the chance for any subsequent Papa John's sponsorship of the show.
Yeah, I don't like Papa John's. Well, let me fill your chances. I don't like Papa John's either. I don't know you. I never wanted it. I always would complain when people would want to order it.
I hate it. I hate it. Before I go throwing words like white trash move around, I should probably just move on to the next game. Carolina at New Orleans, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, as it were.
There you go.
New Orleans
don't
is laying five
and a half. Don't need the USA Today for that one.
Just like you know all my announcer call-outs during the year, I know all of your call-outs. New Orleans is laying 5.5 up from 4. Believe it or not, I like Carolina to get under in this one here. I think that as much as they have the ability to run the ball with Newton and their entire stable of backs that they have there, I think New Orleans can run it on a vulnerable New Orleans. That Carolina can run it on a vulnerable New Orleans defense and keep it close. I like them to get under the number.
You know, New Orleans kind of fits into the same situation as two teams I've already taken, Buffalo and recommended Buffalo and Tennessee, at home. A game that means really nothing either side, two non-playoff teams, and they've gotten revenge. Carolina, remember, got New Orleans back in, I think it was week two, it was either week two or week three, it was very, very early in the year. And, you know, New Orleans have an 0-4 start. A win here can get them to 500, but I can't go against my man Cam Newton. And to be honest with you, I kind of want to see the Panthers lose rather big here because I think that would actually be the death knell for the Ron Rivera era. I think if you got Chip Kelly, who, you know, is by all accounts leaving Oregon after his team crushes Kansas State in the Fiesta Bowl. It's a little free winner for you there, Ricky.
thank you.
I would love to see Chip Kelly come to Carolina and work with Newton because I think Carolina can win the division next year.
Well, we'll have to see if Chip Kelly's style of 98 runs per half, if that might possibly make it in the NFL. There are those who have some doubts. Before we get to my big three picks for the week here, we can blow through, I think. We have three picks, three games here, playoff teams, double-digit spreads, nothing really at all at stake. First of these three, Kansas City at Denver, the number is 16. It's kind of held firm at 16. The Chiefs played them tight the first time on general principle, you know, and wondering how much Denver may have to play for in this one based on the outcome of other games. I initially wanted to go Kansas City to get underneath it, but I keep waiting for Denver. Denver's overdue to stub their toe in some way. Not that they're going to lose this outright, but they're overdue, but I just can't do it. One of the best teams in the league right now versus, you know, if not the worst, then the second worst. I'm going to say Denver to cover it. It's going to be as ugly as the number indicates, if not more so.
Well, here's the thing. General principle, obviously, you know me, I would always take 16 in an NFL game. That's a ridiculously high spread. You know, some people think Denver's the best team in the league right now. I'm with you. I think that's just not right. I have them at number 5 coming in. I've been one of those guys that I think like you, who have they really beaten? You know, they lost to Houston, they lost to Atlanta, they lost to New England. Granted, all those were early in the year, but they've really feasted on a weak division. Here's the thing. They, even if Houston were to win at 1 o'clock, Denver, I believe, if I'm getting my little playoff scenarios out here correctly, Denver would still need to win this game to lock up the number 2 seed. So they'll win. That's all. I mean, stay away, though.
Yeah, staying away sounds about right, as well as you talk about a number of that size. We got it in the next one here as well. Arizona at San Francisco. Almost everything I said about Kansas City applies to Arizona. Much of what I said about Denver applies to San Francisco. This is one, though, again, I can just see Arizona just I can see them getting underneath the number. In this case, again, not exactly sure how much San Francisco is going to have in their starters the whole time. And, again, you know, Brian Hoyer, less of a demonstrable failure than some of the other quarterbacks that Arizona's had in there. I could see them sneaking here inside the number of 16.5. On general principle, I'm going with Denver on the one. I'm going to split and go with Arizona on the other one.
If you're going to play this game, look at the under. San Francisco off a loss, as we've talked about a couple times during the year, a few times they have been off a loss. In the Harbaugh era, just do not give up any points the following week. And, you know, if you talk about not scoring a lot, you know, Arizona is certainly the AC Green of the NFL, I believe. San Francisco needs to win this game to win the division. So they'll get it done, but again, stay away. You know, if it were me, I'd take the point. I mean, you always take 16 in the NFL.
Yeah, that's going to pay off for you more often than not. The last of the double-digit ones before we get to my big three for the week, it is the other NFC West battle. It is St. Louis at Seattle. The Hawks are laying 10.5 in this one. That's been kind of steady for the week. As we talked about, Seattle, beyond any shred of a doubt at this point in time, the hottest team in the NFL. You almost have to go back a couple decades in the history books to look for a run like they've been on the last 3 weeks. Having said all of that, again, I feel like St. Louis, with their defensive foundation, they've had a better year, I think, than some might have forecast. Jeff Fisher paying some immediate benefits there. I don't think there's any chance in hell they win this game with the run that Seattle's on at this point. I think they can keep it close. I think they can stay tight in this one here. Nobody slowed down Seattle in a couple of weeks here, but do I see it going on at that breakneck pace into the playoffs? It could. But I think that St. Louis could be up for a little bit of a surprise here. Probably not the win, almost definitely in my book not the win, but to keep it close.
Hey, St. Louis beat Seattle the first go around. And
in their building, at home, true.
Yeah. And there's a problem with that. Seattle opened the year by going 0-3 in the division, losing all those games on the road. They lost to Arizona, and they lost to San Francisco, and they lost to St. Louis, all on the road. They opened 0-3 against the NFC West. They have since beaten Arizona 58-0 and San Francisco 42-13. Coach them up, Pete, who, by the way, deserves an apology for me, by the way, after I mocked him before the year. Coach him up, Pete, you're the man. And he may run up the score on St. Louis, which is what I'm scared of. Seattle probably, the only thing is, they need a 49ers loss and a win to take the NFC West. So that's not going to, the 49ers, we just discussed, are not losing to Arizona. So it'll be interesting, again, just no interest in playing this. Seattle probably bound to being the fifth seed and taking on the NFC East winner in the playoffs, in the wild card round.
And that is going to be an amazing first round clash. We get now to my big three. We'll go to the Sunday night game here, which I know is the last of your recommended picks as well. Dallas is at Washington. The Skins are laying 3, had been 3.5 earlier in the week. Again, a lot of this just comes down to, and this has bitten me a couple times in recent weeks here, my lack of belief in the Dallas Cowboys when it matters most. And I believe
nice
under the circumstances.
Say something nice about Tony Romo. Don't tell me we don't have time to do that, because you can say something nice about Tony Romo.
Tony Romo, while a real-life fraud, is a pretty good fantasy quarterback. He's pretty good at worthless numbers in the grand scheme of real-life NFL. So I guess that's damning with faint praise, I suppose you would say. He's
you
the anti-Troy Aikman. Aikman was not much of a fantasy quarterback, but Aikman was the consummate winner. He's the anti-Aikman, essentially.
He's the
bizarro world Troy Aikman, a guy who puts up numbers, doesn't win for crap. They will not win on Sunday night. We saw on Thanksgiving Day what Washington is capable of doing against this offense here. They will not, under these circumstances, blow this one. Haven't been a big believer in the Skins, but I'm less of a believer in the Cowboys by far. Skins win this one. May not be close, but they'll cover the 3.
I'm going to be honest. This is the first game I circled. I circled this one back Sunday night when the line came out. It's Washington is my third recommended play. I'm going to tell you something, though, Ricky. I'm scared. I'm terrified of this play now. Why? No one's picking Dallas. And why would you, really? I mean, Washington's got all the momentum. You just talk about Seattle being the hottest team in the league right now. Washington's probably number two. I mean, they've won and covered six straight games, which is, I think, actually even better than Seattle.
Peyton Manning says hi.
That's true. But I don't like them. That's true. Yeah, I guess. I guess as far as the second half surge goes, it's funny we actually kind of forget about Denver because we've just assumed they were going to win a division for so long. Seattle and Washington are the two teams that have surged in the second half. How's that for semantics?
Okay.
And here's the Dallas. It's interesting. The last 2 years has seen them lose the regular season finale with a playoff spot on the line to both Philly and then to the Giants. Last year. Can they complete the trifecta and lose to the Redskins? Yes, they can. Washington wins this game, takes the division, and they will play Seattle in the wild card round. And just a little spoiler, I would love that matchup.
That would be incredible. And, again, I don't have the numbers right in front of me.
Not necessarily aesthetically. I'm saying I would love it because when I unload on that game, and I think you know which way.
I think so. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the double shot power of when you and I have agreed on keying on a play this year, I think we've done pretty good on that. So we're both on Washington.
Yeah, the only one we lost on was the Pittsburgh-Dallas game a couple weeks ago when Roethlisberger put the INT in overtime.
I think so. And I think we had a couple winners to offset that. I'm not sure at the moment, but I think we did.
Yeah, we have. I think we're 3-1. It doesn't happen often.
Right.
I think we're 3-1. So get down on the Redskins. Final game of the regular
season. My other two plays are both in the NFC North battles. It's Green Bay at Minnesota. Pack is laying 3.5. Had been 3 at the outset of the week. Vikings need this one to have a chance at the playoffs. Again, I think this is where the bill comes due. On them as far as them being a fraudulent team throughout the season. Pack still has something to play for here. Pack, arguably still, we don't talk about them as much with the hot teams, but hey, they were my preseason pick to win the Super Bowl. Again, statement game like what I said for Houston earlier. I think we get it out of Green Bay here. I like Green Bay to cover the number on the road. Road favorite Ricky strikes again.
Minnesota cannot be allowed to make the playoffs. Please let them lose this game.
Well, I think they will lose.
Just please let them lose. I mean, Green Bay also going for the first round bye. I agree with road favorite Ricky on this one. The other one, I'm a little more leery, believe it or not.
Okay, all right. And the last one, my 1,000-star gold play to the lock of the millennium for the week. By the way, I've never been in negative territory for the season. So at 8-8, this is where you want to load up with everything here. This would put me at 9-8 and winning territory even with juice. If I hit this next one here. Hey, my lock pick last week was Atlanta as a road favorite playing at Detroit. I said they'd go in and kill them, and they did. I'm looking for more of the same here this week. Granted, it's a rivalry game, Chicago and Detroit. The Bears are laying 3 on the road, had been 3.5 earlier in the week where it opened. I like the Bears. Again, you talked about the Giants scenario before. That's the Achilles heel in it. The Lions, and I'm not even a Jim Schwartz here, you are, but the chances of the Lions rising up and playing spoiler on the Bears here are nil. Bears take this one going away like the Falcons did last week.
See, I'm kind of scared of the Lions playing spoiler. Honestly, I am. I know it makes no sense. I hate Jim Schwartz. I think they've been lifeless down the stretch, and the Bears have every reason. But the Bears have just, their defense came back for them last week. I believe they scored twice. I know they created a bunch of turnovers against Arizona. But when that hasn't happened, we have seen the Bears struggle. And what's interesting? These two teams are very similar, I think. The Bears just got off to the better start, and, they've both obviously been pretty bad in the second half. But it's just, it's a quarterback who keys too much on one receiver. And the Bears have a better defense, which is why they're in position to make the playoffs. The Bears are my preseason pick to win the NFC. They are not my Week 17 pick to win the NFC. I'll give you a clue there. I do think they'll win this game, though, and get into the playoffs and be the sixth seed.
All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree that I just don't want to back off them now, but I'm nervous about it, man. I'm nervous about
them.
Okay. Well, favorite. Not a good mix.
All right. We're down to our last couple of seconds here of sand in the hourglass. You and I have picked every game now this NFL season. We've done that, and it has been a pleasure, Kyle. We'll continue to do this, taking a look at games throughout the playoffs, I understand. So I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you for a great season, my man.
Mickey, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, pal, we'll catch you then. You've been listening to FDH Lounge mini episode number 228. Thank you very much, folks.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.